for our radio program.
Bickley and Murata.
Welcome to the greatest radio show in the history of the universe.
Dan Bickley. Vince Murata.
This is the greatest radio show of all time.
Bickley and Murata. This is the
greatest. You're listening to the greatest radio show that has ever existed.
Bickley and Murata. And Murata.
Let's start the show.
I tell you what, Vinny, it feels like the greatest show in America when you're broadcasting live from New York. You know what I'm saying?
I'll take your word for it.
Let me say that again. Live from New York, Dan Bickley.
Wednesday afternoon. Morning, wherever.
Right, exactly. Live from the ESPN studios. And by the way, they're the 98.7 FM ESPN studios. So there's some like good symmetry going on there, right?
Like it.
I kind of dig that. So, how you doing, Vinny?
I'm great.
Good.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because my vacation was so long, you just forgot about this. But whatever happened to the Vinny Joe nicknames?
That's a good point.
Did you run out?
No, I just didn't know where we could quite slot them anymore. And you know what? What I don't want to do, I don't want to sound formulaic every single time we start the show.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I'll drop one in every now and again. We'll figure it out.
I was just wondering. That hit me yesterday.
Yeah. I'm never out of Vinny Joe nicknames. Ever, ever, ever.
Okay.
Ever. So why don't we do this? Why don't we get the show started?
The Splash.
Splash.
The stories making waves in the sports world.
The Splash.
Get him up.
All right, if you really want to peel back the curtain, I'm in New York, obviously, for the NBA draft that takes place tomorrow night in Brooklyn. They had a media availability today for the class of rookies who are here in New York, and they split it up in a couple of different segments, and they had Group A and they had Group B. And they had held it at the Grand Hyatt in New York. Beautiful place to have it. Group B was 25 minutes late, so I'm now changing his name to DeAndre Waiton, because that's what he made me do.
Or Layton.
Exactly.
That's what he was.
Then I got out of there. All right. And I'm getting texts from you guys, and I hop into a cab, and oh, my goodness. Lunchtime in summertime in New York. Literally got here 3 minutes ago, as you know. Literally walked into the studio 3 minutes ago, but...
So it's just like when you're here.
Oh, well, exactly. It's not that different. But here is the difference. I come armed with fresh information, perceptions, insight of all these guys. And I'm here to tell you this. Marvin Bagley Jr., or the third, whatever his suffix happens to be.
Well, you're talking about him or his dad?
He dresses really good.
Well, that's what I look for in a prospect.
That's what I thought. I thought, you see, I'm telling you.
I'm changing my draft strategy.
I told you. I was coming.
You know how important fashion is to me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What was interesting about today, and the NBA draft is taking place, and clearly DeAndre Ayton is favored to be the number one pick, and if it's any indication, the little table that DeAndre Ayton was at the Grand Hyatt, The employees from the Suns who were filming it, that's where they were camped out, at his table.
Hmm. I wonder if that's a sign.
It might be. Might be.
A lot of draft stuff coming up today, including the entire 11 o'clock hour NBA draft roundtable with the two of us knuckleheads, along with John Gambadoro, John Bloom. We'll talk all facets of the NBA draft from 11 to 12 today. Elsewhere in the NBA... Everybody's got one eye on the draft, one eye on the impending offseason, which begins July 1st. Free agency trades. There was a trade that went down today. Hey, Dwight Howard's going to play for a different team. What a shocker.
I didn't know Dwight Howard could play anymore. I didn't think he had the talent to play anymore.
He's on his way to the Nets. But anyway, it looks like the San Antonio Spurs are putting on the 11th hour full court press on Kawhi Leonard to try to repair things.
Not going
to
work.
Greg Popovich flies to San Diego to have a meeting. The details on this meeting right now, Bick, are sketchy, as you know. Some people have described it as a productive meeting, but also one of the results of this meeting is some people are reporting damage might be too severe from Kawhi Leonard's standpoint, at least in his view, to repair things moving forward.
No, look, this thing is done and it's been done. And there are reports now that once again, Kawhi Leonard looked Greg Popovich right in the face and said, I don't want to be in San Antonio any longer. He is going to the Lakers. That's where he wants to play. It's just a matter of whether he can get the Spurs to play his game and trade him there. He is making it clear from the people I talked to this morning. He is making it clear, or his agent is making it clear to everybody, that nobody has a chance to sign him long term. They're telling the Boston Celtics, don't even bother. So now it's going to be up to San Antonio to make up your mind. Do we trade him someplace else for nothing, or do we trade him to the Lakers? And I also heard the Lakers aren't willing to give the Spurs that much for Kawhi Leonard anyways, because they can get him in a year without having to trade anything.
There you go.
So this thing is getting crazy, Vinny.
Yeah, there's the latest from the Kawhi soap opera. Diamondbacks couldn't finish off the pair in Anaheim. They lose 5-4, late push, ninth inning home run by Paul Goldschmidt, not enough. So they split a pair with the Angels. Matt Cook was on the mound for the D-backs last night. Wasn't great. Fella, you know, got into some trouble, especially in the fifth inning when he gave up the lead. And it looks like, for all intents and purposes, Bic, we've speculated on it. A lot of people have. With two healthy pitchers coming back into the rotation very soon in Shelby Miller and Robbie Ray, who's going to be the odd men or men out?
Yeah.
Looks like Matt Cook's going to be the first guy out. He was actually speaking in the past tense last night after the game.
Yeah, I read that in Nick Pecoro's story about how he drifted from the past tense to the present tense in the middle of an answer. Nothing like tipping your hand there. Man, I really enjoyed my time here. It was a lot of fun. You know? Well, look, Matt...
Back to Reno, the biggest little city in America.
Yeah, Matt Cook did a really good job with the Diamondbacks, and you can make an argument that maybe he deserves better, but I wouldn't say that either. I just think he did a really good job when he had to fill in at giving his team a chance to win games. But at the end of it all, he's Matt Cook. And Shelby Miller is better. And Shelby Miller, I think, is ready to go. And it just, I think it's good for the Diamondbacks to know that that guy has had a chance, and with his chance, he was very good at just kind of keeping the team on the rails and allowing them to win baseball games.
Yeah, D-backs won 7 of the 12 games he started. 7-5, you'll take that from a lot of starters, especially a guy that you plugged in from the minor leagues. But recently, last three starts, 6.48 ERA for Cook. 7 strikeouts in 16 and two-thirds innings. Same number of home runs allowed. 7. That's not great.
No.
Diamondbacks day off before they start a series with Pittsburgh this weekend. Tom Brady talked to Oprah Winfrey and indicated that he might see the end coming on his career when it comes to retirement, but on a comment from Brady's verified Instagram account, the topic was retirement, and he wrote 45, which is Spanish for where is the library? No, it's actually Spanish for 45, uh-huh, which is 5 years off.
So
I don't know if this has just reached the point of ridiculousness now. I know everybody wants to know when you get up there in years when you're hanging them up, but
yeah,
to speculate that you're going to be able to play in 5 years?
Then you're not talking about
retirement.
I don't
care how many guacamole milkshakes you're drinking.
I agree. And if you really are 5 years away, then retirement, it's not even a topic. You have to be within 2 years of retiring for it to even be a valid topic,
in my
opinion.
I agree.
And can Tom Brady play at the age of 45? Maybe. Do you think Bill Belichick, if he's still coaching, will want Tom Brady at age 45?
I think that's a pretty valid question, too. Will Bill Belichick even still be there?
That's a good point.
After this year. There's been a lot of speculation on that. So we'll toss that around as well. And finally, it was a topic on Monday's show.
Yeah.
It'll be a topic on today's show, too, because after standing by his actions and talking about manipulating the rules to his advantage during his U.S. Open Saturday 13th hole meltdown, Phil Mickelson has apologized for his actions.
As he should.
Sent out a note via social media. I know this should have come sooner, but it's taken me a few days to calm down. My anger and frustration got the best of me last weekend. I'm embarrassed and disappointed by my actions. It was clearly not my finest moment, and I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. I don't know why it took him so long. What is he angry about? Is he angry about the course? Is he angry about Shinnecock Hills? Is he angry about the USGA? What exactly is he angry? He couldn't be angry at the USGA because they didn't disqualify him when they could have and should have.
I think it has to be just frustration over the combination of the course layout, which was a big talking point early in that tournament, Bick, and the way that he handled it. I mean, it's a tough course. He's still one of the best golfers in the world, but 16 over par for the tournament, that's got to frustrate a guy who's got the skill level of Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, and that's fine. And it's really got to frustrate the people who run professional golf that so many people in America didn't think it was a big deal. That tells me that there are so many people not even in tune with the culture of golf and what they believe they stand for. I'm not saying what they stand for is right or that I would even stand for it. But in the culture of what golf is supposed to stand for and what they make important to them, what Phil Mickelson did was egregious. And I can't believe it took him this long to apologize. I'm glad he did. He's Teflon Phil. It's not going to stick to him. But I think this is just a sad commentary on the state of golf that so many people just, who cares? So his ball was rolling and he hit it back towards the cup. What are people getting so upset about?
I did that at Castles and Coasters last night.
That's my point.
Still shot a triple bogey.
That's my point. Yeah, so, all right, well done, Phil. What took you so long?
And there you go. There's a splash for this Wednesday, June 20th, on Bickley and Murata. Show might sound a little different today, but it's because we're in two different locales.
Well, what sounds different?
You could tell the difference in the voice quality. I mean, I have this deep, dulcet tone to my voice, and you sound a little distant.
Oh, do I? But I just don't. But I listen.
Just emotionally.
Yeah, emotionally distant. Yes. Well, Vinny, my heart's, you know, I feel kind of calloused. How you've just kind of like rejected all my affectionate
weird
overtures.
Weird advances.
Yeah. So what are you saying? Are you saying my voice is a little tinny?
I'll respond to that by saying, has Connie from HR contacted you yet? She told me she was going to do it before the show today. We've got very faithful listeners on this program. I just think that for the trained ear of our astute audience, it might sound a little bit different.
All right.
That's all.
Okay.
But it's all for the betterment of the show. I mean, you're covering the NBA draft in New York. That's a big deal.
It is a big deal. And so this morning they had media availability for all of the prospects. Marvin Bagley III, Dante DiVincenzo, he was there. All the big names. I did not see Luka Doncic. So I'm taking
it. He's en route.
He's en route.
I think he's going to be there tomorrow night in Brooklyn for the draft, but was not going to make it in time for the media availability.
He's in a cab. Stuck in a traffic on the way.
Yes, certainly I was, man. Certainly I was. Oh, boy. Okay. So my thoughts on what I saw this morning. There was not a lot of bragging going on. When you get all these guys in the room, and now that it's really this close, I think they've all kind of toned down their act a little bit, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I had this conversation with Marvin Bagley III about what if you'd have never left Arizona? What if you'd have stayed rooted at one high school for the duration of your prep career and then went to Duke, would you think there would be a groundswell of people who would want you because you'd be a Phoenix homie? And he started talking about how he needed to do what he had to do to get better. And he took a path that he thought he had to take, and he's happy with it. He said part of Arizona is going to be a part of him forever. He grew up in Tempe, but there's not a deep connection to the Valley. And as he was telling me this, I was kind of hearing everything I've heard from him before, that somewhere along the line, everything about playing basketball in Arizona, I think, stopped working for Marvin Bagley III.
Uh-huh.
But do you think if he just say he just stayed at one high school in the Valley the whole time, do you think that he might be viewed as the guy, hey, let's get this homegrown guy, just like we produced Austin Matthews, and just like we produced all these other recent professional athletes? Do you think there'd be something to that?
I think the outcry would be a little bit stronger, quite honestly, but I don't think it would change the thought process of the team in control of the number one pick, which is the Phoenix Suns.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is, we always talk about, and we're going to spend a lot of time, just a fair warning, between now and the end of the summer. About the topic will be the construction of super teams in the NBA. This is not just an NBA problem. This is a systemic basketball issue.
That's true.
Because Marvin Bagley III played on a really good prep team and won state championships at Corona del Sol. And, you know, he was on the radar from a very young age, from his freshman year at Corona. He was on the radar as a top recruit and an NBA prospect. He could have stayed there for 4 years. He would have been probably in the same boat had he ended up in Duke. Had he ended up at ASU and followed the footsteps of his grandfather, Joe Caldwell, and played in Tempe for a year, he'd still be a top three NBA pick.
Yep.
But the feeling is, I need to improve my stock. I need to play with better prospects, and I need to go to Hillcrest, or I need to go to Sierra Canyon.
Yeah.
That's not a Marvin Bagley issue. Like I said, that's a systemic thing. At all three major levels of basketball in this country, high school, college, and pro, that's the thought, is I got to play with the best players around me to improve my stock. And yeah, it makes a lot of sense, but it also takes a lot of the intrigue out of it.
Yeah.
The Phoenix question is a good one, though. I do think had he stayed in Phoenix, there would be more of an outcry to bring the guy who is from Phoenix and quote unquote grew up rooting for the Suns, at least in some capacity. Keep him home. It would be good for the community. But he's not the best player in this draft, in my opinion.
No, he's not. He did say at one point today, though, it was really, really funny. When asked of his goals, Marvin Bagley III said, "I want to be the best basketball player that's ever lived, and I mean that in the most humblest way possible." I literally fell over laughing. That's what humility passes for with this younger generation of athletes.
Well, you've heard the comments from all the top prospects in this draft. I mean, Marvin Bagley III talks about holding a grudge against the Suns. And we speculated on whether or not that's because it's his hometown team or it's because of the team with the number one pick. I think there's more pride in being the number one pick than playing for your hometown team, quite honestly.
Oh, yeah.
DeAndre Ayton says he wants to build a lifestyle brand. You always hear this, "I'm an entertainer. I want to be bigger than basketball." I mean, that's where we are right now with prospects in sports.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Why would you really? How about being good at basketball before thinking about being bigger than basketball? Does that ever dawn on them that maybe it's not going to be as easy as they think it's going to be?
Well, there's obviously built-in pressure for anybody that's going to get drafted that high. When you make comments like that, especially in the information age where everything is cataloged on the internet forever, you're just adding pressure to yourself.
No doubt about it.
And I don't have any doubt that all of these guys can play. But why do that to yourself?
Yeah. Now, DeAndre Ayton was part of Group B.
I mean, that
B.
would be like us starting every show by claiming this is the greatest radio show that's ever existed. I mean, it's just foolish.
And we mean that in the most humble way possible. Right?
Oh, I mean, that goes without saying.
That's right. That's exactly right. So DeAndre Ayton shows up. And he looked.
How was he dressed?
Nice. He had this black silk short sleeve shirt, and it was loaded with great white sharks, just little great white sharks circling all over his shirt. He looked fabulous, man. He had some really cool bracelets on, and these guys, you're right. It's all brand statements, is what this is.
Now, did he disclose which personality he was conducting interviews in today?
He low-keyed that a little bit. But the thing that it's funny you should say it. I want to get back to that in a minute because he was more low-key than I was expecting, given what we've all read and heard about his personality. But there were a lot of reporters from the Bahamas there. This is a big Bahamian event, okay? So some of these guys were saying that basketball fans, a lot of the countrymen in the Bahamas, are going to be waking up at very, very early in the morning to watch this draft go down. It's going to be a moment of great national pride, and on some level...
Wait, what time zone is the Bahamas in?
I don't know. This is what the reporter said. It couldn't be that... I mean,
no, it's not different from East Coast.
That's my point. The draft starts at 8 p.m.
How much sleep are they getting in the Bahamas?
That's what I'm saying. So I don't know what this guy was talking about. Maybe they take siestas too. I don't know, Vinny.
Yeah, it's East Coast time.
Okay, so
it's currently 1:19 there.
Then what was the guy talking about?
I don't know.
Okay.
He may have been a fake.
He may have been, might have been. But there is an expectation that there's something he will do something involving the Bahamian national flag, the flag of the Bahamas, when he's announced as the when he's announced as the number one pick in the draft. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it's a big moment. And so there you go. He just seemed more mellow. He was very confident, but that colorful side of his personality wasn't there. And I'm just starting to wonder, is this guy loaded with personality or is he just a big weirdo? You know what I mean?
Hey, there's a fine line sometimes.
There really is a fine line between the two. And if the guy is going from you know, what is the Green Lantern to Spider-Man? What was that whole analogy, Vinny?
Yeah, the Green Goblin.
The Green Goblin. That's what it was. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I just know that he thinks he's going to be the number one pick. And the Suns promotional team, their guys, they were right there with the cameras. You know what I mean?
Well, you didn't notice cameras trained on anybody else, huh?
Well, not those guys. Okay. Those guys came to get DeAndre Ayton, so I think it's pretty fair that that's the way the Suns are going to go.
Yeah, it's interesting that you gleaned that because everybody's trying to, you know, get inside the head of Ryan McDonough what they're going to do, and it seems like at this point, and we're a little bit more than, you know, a day away from the draft, that DeAndre Ayton's going to be the guy. But I'm just wondering, organizationally, and I have no insight on this at all, but, you know, when DeAndre Ayton was in for his workout, he disclosed, we're going to get together after the workout with some guys on the team. We're going to watch the NBA Finals. Oh, that must mean he's going to be on the team. I wonder how much information gets leaked to the players, to members of the organization,
yeah,
if indeed their mind is made up. Now, I was watching an ESPN draft special last night, and Ryan McDonough was a guest, and Adrian Wojnarowski and Bobby Marks and Mike Schmitz were on the panel. I think it aired originally on Monday. And again, there was still the topic of whether or not the Suns would consider trading that top pick. And Ryan McDonough was very clear. There are a few players we would trade this pick for, to be quite honest, but I think it's more than likely we keep the pick. So maybe it's just, covering all their bases by having their cameras trained on DeAndre Ayton. Because I think the only two possibilities right now, as we're a day away from the draft pick, are Ayton's the pick or they get blown away by an offer and trade it. And I don't even think the possibility of that's very great.
Okay. Let me ask this. Those three players, who would they be? Who would you trade him for? And I know this is part of what we're going to talk about later in the roundtable, but are there three players?
Well,
we all know Karl Anthony Towns would be one of them.
Yeah, Kawhi Leonard's not on that list, especially considering, you know, what you talked about in the splash today about the signals or just the flat-out messages being sent by his representation. Don't bother. You're not going to be able to sign me long-term. And, you know, Phoenix is not San Antonio, but if Kawhi Leonard is not happy in San Antonio for whatever reason, you can speculate that he wouldn't be happy in Phoenix for a lot of the same reasons.
Yeah, that's right.
He's not one of them. That's a good question. I don't know if there's three players that I could list now, realistically.
Yeah, and that's why that number stunned me a little bit. I don't know who players two and three would be. It wouldn't be Kawhi Leonard because he's not signing here.
I mean,
it would definitely be Karl Anthony Towns.
You could come up with a pie in the sky list.
Sure.
Kyrie Irving?
No.
If you wouldn't trade Kyrie Irving for Josh Jackson before his knee surgery, you wouldn't trade the number one pick for him now.
No, absolutely not. A lot's changed in the year since we had that discussion as well. The pie in the sky list, you could say, yeah, I trade him for Steph Curry. I trade him for Kevin Durant. I trade him for Anthony Davis. That's pie in the sky stuff. I'm talking about
Anthony Davis. That would be one.
Three guys. And Anthony Davis might be, people are speculating that he might be traded. Certainly not this summer, but before he's due for an extension. There might be one name on that list.
Porzingis?
No. Love the skill set. Love the youth. But he's coming off a severe knee injury.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
I'm with Vinny on that.
Yeah.
I'm up with Vinny on that.
All right, we're just getting started on this Wednesday. Bick in New York to cover the NBA draft, which unfolds tomorrow night at Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Of course, we'll have roundtable coverage today. All kinds of primetime coverage tomorrow night, as well as the Suns are on the verge of history. making the number one overall pick for the first time in team history. Join Aaron Maloney, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the AT&T store located on Dysart, just north of the I-10 in Goodyear. They'll be giving away D-backs tickets, movie passes, and more. Plus, you can check out a great deal on the new LG V35 Thin Q. Visit the events page at arizonasports.com for complete details. Coming up, Matt Cook has been more than adequate in the rotation for the Arizona Diamondbacks. But is his time in that role over? We'll get into that next. It's Bickley and Murata live, at least half of the show, live from the Auction Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Live from New York, it's Dan Bickley.
And a shot to left center, that's a hit. Angels get the lead, two will score. Another runner goes to third. Toe comes back into second, now it gets away. Another run will score. And the Angels clear the bases as Travis at first. And the Angels have a 4-2 lead here.
Hard to say. I haven't really had a chance to talk to him or Butch at this point, but I know that it was a couple hit batsmen, and you know you walk up the best hitter with the bases loaded, their best hitter with the bases loaded. You're asking for trouble. So I feel like he was doing a really nice job prior to that. It just slipped away from him, and you got to stop this team. You got to limit the base runners before Mike Trout, and he didn't do that.
Featuring Mikey Day, Alex Moffitt. Musical guest, of course, AC/DC, and your host, Dan Bickley. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Bickley. What happened to the music?
Now, the musical guest is unfortunately Jared Carlin, right? And has been for the last four or five days.
No.
Little do you
Different
know.
Musical guest today.
Oh, that's right. We changed it up today, didn't we?
Yes. Lionel Snitchy.
Nice. That's good. Like that. Yeah, if you're Matt Cook, hitting two batters and getting bringing Mike Trout to the play with the bases loaded, not probably a good idea, right?
Mike Trout, man, the tear that he's on is unbelievable. So, yeah, you don't want to put runners on base before he gets up. That's where the game got away in the fifth inning. Diamondbacks lose 5-4. It was Greg Schulte on the call of Mike Trout's damage inflicted. And then Torrey Lovello, courtesy of Fox Sports Arizona, asked what happened to Matt Cook in that fifth inning. Here's more from the manager to Fox Sports Arizona.
If you make mistakes, they're going to make you pay for it. I thought he was doing a really good job of managing the strike zone and pitching to contact. And Matt's not afraid of contact. I just think a few pitches got away from him in the wrong situation.
Yeah, and it's a loss. They still manage a split in the two games before they move on to Pittsburgh. I brought this up before. Matt Cook, in games that he has started since being called up in April due to injury, and he took over for Taiwan Walker, Diamondbacks are 7-5 in those games. He struggled as of late. Opposing hitters are hitting .277 against him, but they're slugging .615 in that span with three starts. I mean, that's ridiculous. And we referenced it in the splash pick. Matt Cook talking about his role with this team, and this is from Nick Pecora on AZ Central. Quote, "I learned a lot. I think it was," Cook said before switching tenses. "It's been so fun so far being around this group of guys and learning the game up here. It's been a lot of fun. Hopefully in the future and going forward, it will get better."
Yeah. Gotta like that, right?
Yeah.
Awesome reporting from Nick Pecora, by the way, to notice that. Whether that is a slip or exactly his mindset, I think either way, everybody sees the writing on the wall. But again, I don't think this is a bad thing. I think Matt Cook, despite running into that problem in the fifth inning yesterday and putting his team in a hole, I think his experience with the Diamondbacks was by and large a very positive one. And I think that he gave this team a lot of good pitching efforts, and he did so against some big name opponents at a time when the team needed him to perform. So I don't think that this is not a failure in any sense of the word for Matt Cook.
No, I don't think so either. And I like the way you put it. This could be a plus moving forward for the Diamondbacks, who are still a first place team right now. Now, Torrey Lovello was asked, Shelby Miller looks like he's ready to go. He was asked, what are the chances Shelby Miller starts in that next rotation turn?
Yet to be determined. We're gonna huddle up and have some conversations probably right after we're done here with you guys and figure out what the best course of action is.
Robbie Ray also had a rehab start in the minors where he was pretty efficient in four and a third innings. So he's getting close too. But one of the questions about this organization, Bick, back in spring training was everybody thought, all right, the Diamondbacks are going to be decent. You could be in the mix for the NL West. They could be in the mix for a wild card again. But one of the questions people had was starting pitching depth. Outside of their five, who are the guys that are going to be called on? And it happens to every team now in Major League Baseball where they have to dip into their minor leagues or go outside the organization to find guys to fill those roles. I think here now in the later stages of June, that question has not only been addressed by Mike Hazen and his staff, but it's turned into a strength. Shelby Miller comes back. Robbie Ray comes back. I would assume right now Matt Cook's the first guy out. Zach Godley would be the second guy out.
Yes.
And I'm basing that on what Clay Buchholz has been able to do since he was acquired by the Diamondbacks. Do I expect Clay Buchholz to pitch like that every time out? No. So they might have to go back to one of those other guys, but it's no longer the big question mark it was back in April, in my opinion. I think this is a plus.
Without a doubt. And this will give them more depth. It will give Matt Cook some confidence. Because you don't know what other surprises are going to be in store. I don't know. Nobody knows how Shelby Miller is going to hold up on the major league level. So this is a big time plus for the baseball team. And then you get down to who beat Matt Cook yesterday. And if you're going to single it to Mike Trout, you know, you're in good company there. Obviously, the big problem was hitting a couple of batters prior. But let me give you a couple of Mike Trout-isms. Since we hit on a couple of these yesterday, in painting the picture of one of the greatest baseball players who has ever lived and one of the greatest players who has never quite received the attention he deserves. We could sit here and spend the next 45 minutes throwing out Mike Trout-isms, just amazing statistical accomplishments that haven't been done before. Now check this out. Mike Trout is on pace to have the single greatest season in Major League Baseball history. We all know that, and it's true. He hasn't won the American League Player of the Week award once this year, or last year, or in 2016 either. Yeah. The last time he won Player of the Week, July 12th, 2015.
That's amazing to me.
Is that unreal?
Yeah, I heard that on the ESPN broadcast last night.
Okay. In June, he's hitting .448. Over his last eight games, he's hitting .696. In his last eight games, Mike Trout has been on base 28 times in 36 plate appearances. You can't do that in slow pitch softball.
It's true.
Seriously. 28 times on base in 36 plate appearances, and this guy has never been offensive player of the week in 2015?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
There's other facts about Mike Trout that you don't even know.
Well, I'd like to hear.
Did you know Mike Trout jumped off the Empire State Building one time, and he only sprained his ankle?
But seriously, why isn't this guy held up on a much higher platform?
He's reached, we talk about it in basketball a lot. Does the best player in the game necessarily win the most valuable player award every year? And the answer is no. It goes back to, you know, Michael Jordan's career. It's certainly been the case during LeBron James' career. Even for weekly awards, I mean, he's going to win one this week. But that's an amazing stat because he has been the top player in the game basically since he stepped on the diamond.
No kidding. It's just crazy. So that being said, this two-game series, the D-backs split it, no worse for wear. You still think that you feel good about where this club is going? Because what I feel good about now is the reinforcements that are going to be start coming down the road, especially with the pitching staff. What Robbie Ray did over four and a third innings or however long his outing was, it looks okay on paper. That's good. That's a good sign for me. Because with all due respect to Shelby Miller, I am much more concerned about what Robbie Ray is like when he gets back to the rotation.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. But yeah, to answer your question, I do like the way this team looks right now. You got Paul Goldschmidt rolling again offensively. They weren't great offensively last night, top to bottom in that lineup. But you have to feel a heck of a lot more comfortable than you did you know, a month ago where this team was offensively. Vic, did I ever tell you? Mike Trout injects whiskey into his neck with a syringe.
To Troutski!
That's a good idea. I should try that sometime. Wow.
You know, Mike Trout also once scissor-kicked Angela Lansbury.
Oh, my goodness.
Mike Trout once slept with my wife. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Jesus. To Troutski!
Troutski. It's a Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, theme. I don't know why it made me think of that.
No, I'm aware of what it is. I'm not.
The Saturday Night Live theme.
I'm not
show
comfortable
today.
Jumping into that skit with you guys.
Well, because we're reading them right off a list.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, Jarrett's not. I am. Join 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station at the Phoenix Suns 2018 NBA Draft Party tomorrow, starting at 4 p.m. live from Talking Stick Resort Arena. Head to the events page at arizonasports.com for complete details and to RSVP to watch the Suns make their historic number one overall pick. Coming up, we'll get more into the draft, and it is getting closer and closer. As you can tell, Dan Bickley in New York. Draft coverage continues. Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Suns Insider Update.
Oh, like I said from the beginning, that's Shaq and Kobe 2.0. That's big. You know, we could really make something happen in Phoenix. We could really have a spark, have a winning legacy here.
That is the voice of DeAndre Ayton, projected number one overall pick in the NBA draft tomorrow night by the Phoenix Suns. That was from his workout when he was in town. One workout DeAndre Ayton did. It was for the Phoenix Suns. After that workout, Bick, as you well know, he said, I know I'm going number one.
Yeah. A lot of confidence.
Everything points to that. You talked about the Suns, media staff, cameras trained on him at the media availability in Manhattan today. There was a story that went out on social media yesterday. Somebody at the NBA store in Midtown Manhattan bought a personalized DeAndre Ayton Suns jersey.
Yeah.
And he signed it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, all signs point to
that. Did you see the Vegas odds for him to go number one?
Is it 1-1?
It's 1-25. You have to bet $25 to win $1. Second is Doncic at 15-1.
Wow. Yeah, you would think about that. First of all, if somebody bought that DeAndre Ayton jersey, you're really taking a big leap of faith in having him sign it. You know what I mean? If he doesn't get drafted by the Suns.
Yeah, plus you're taking a big leap of faith that he's going to wear number 13 again, which is what this fan did.
Because, right.
I mean, it's not retired by the Suns, but it's also not been worn by anybody since Steve Nash left.
Yeah. Yeah, right. That's exactly right.
That's and one confident young fan.
No doubt. Yeah, well, I think that DeAndre Ayton and his fit makes it that way. What I just worry about or I can't conceptualize is the fact that this kid and the ones that are behind him, Luka Doncic and all those guys, I keep believing there's not a lot of separation. But look at the odds. The odds would make it seem like this is LeBron James and the rest of the draft class, or Lou Alcindor and the rest of the draft class. But in reality, it's not. So what explains that? Is it because of how he talked when he came to Phoenix? Is it because he played in Tucson? You know, the odds and the separation between DeAndre Ayton and the rest of the players are not that great.
No, and you had, you know, some FaceTime with DeAndre Ayton today and the other prospects in New York. Anything that he said today stand out or differ in any way from what he has said leading up to this point?
No. I think in the case of DeAndre Ayton, when I look at him and I listen to him, it's you know what I think it is, Vinny? I think you brought up this idea about him going and watching the NBA Finals with members of the Suns. And it was at a press conference with Ryan McDonough right there when he said there's no doubt that I'm the number one pick in the draft. I think the wise guys in Vegas go, all right, he's been tipped off. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, even Ryan McDonough's comments that day would indicate that, you know, and it's no shock, they're very high on the guy. I mean, they hold the cards right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, more level-headedly, Marianne McDonough will say, "There's, you know, we're considering five guys. Four of those guys worked out for us. But if they keep the pick, it's got to be DeAndre Ayton.
It's got to be. I mean, I agree, but it's got to be fit. But again, what explains the odds?
I think people read into the quotes and the confidence with which those quotes are delivered, and that probably has a lot to do with it.
Okay. All right. So, you know, then the Phoenix Suns have to go, and just when it's time for them to make the pick, then just make the pick. You know what I'm saying?
Don't let the phone ring.
Or don't give them the 5 minutes unless you can snag a Karl Anthony Towns. I've been watching, and I was sniffing around about that, because you would think that if the Karl Anthony Towns thing had gotten worse or gotten to the point where it was a possibility, you might have heard something now, because we're getting real close to the draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Yeah. I don't know. There hasn't been a lot. There's been a couple stories to come out of Minnesota in the last few weeks. Not a lot. Certainly, the first story that came out was Karl Anthony Towns not exactly happy. Brian Windhorst dropped that on a podcast. He kind of reiterated it on our show the next week. The next story to come out of Minnesota was the reported strife, and there wasn't even a lot about this, but the reported strife between Jimmy Butler and Andrew Wiggins had nothing to do with Karl Anthony Towns. So you always say where there's smoke, there's fire. There's in a few weeks, there hasn't even been any smoke on the Anthony Towns front, other than he's showing up with Devin Booker everywhere they go.
Right, exactly. And so, I mean, to me, if you had that opportunity, that would be a great thing to do. But I don't think much has come of that opportunity. Now, the other thing I thought was interesting in talking to DeAndre Ayton this morning is I asked him, because he did make that comment about Kobe, Shaq and Kobe 2.0. Mm-hmm. And so he repeated it and he elaborated on what he thought would why those two would work so well together. But they really haven't talked yet, which I thought was interesting. And I said, you have no conversation? He's like, no, we just kind of said hi. You know, you say hello. But if you went to watch a basketball game with members of the Suns, I'm guessing Devin Booker wasn't there. And I'm guessing that Devin Booker is in probably in no rush to have a conversation with him,
it could also be a situation where, you know, the day of the workout and the media session in Phoenix with DeAndre Ayton, the day before I left on my vacation, so I was actually listening to your show that day, and when Kellen Olsen came on, he's like, hey, pretty much indicated he's going to be the number one pick. And I know that's been the prevailing thought ever since. Might be a situation where the Suns didn't feel comfortable about the level of confidence that was being portrayed with.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, let's just tone it down a little bit. Let's pull back the reins, because at the heart of it, we're still at number one and we still have a ton of options. And why cripple those options by being confident and open about things?
Well, exactly.
I mean, that's the game you have to play.
That's exactly right. That's exactly the game that you have to play. And I think the Suns have been playing it well. I don't think we'll ever know it, because I think there's so much public. Think of the public pressure, Vinny, to draft DeAndre Ayton. I mean, even if you in your heart of hearts, if you were Ryan McDonough and say you're watching Jaren Jackson Jr. and you watch more tape, or you got some information on him that just blew your mind, and you're like, you know what, this is the guy. Mm-hmm. Would they ever have that kind of courage to buck what is public opinion now?
They have to. You can't be swayed by the public opinion. And I think the public opinion is as strong, yes, because DeAndre Ayton spent a semester at Arizona. But I think because the other guy that's been lumped in this category or this discussion for so long is Luka Doncic, who's from Slovenia, who's playing in Spain, and there are those that are raving about him, but there's still a great deal of unknown, and there's still that, right or wrong, still that stigma about a lot of European prospects coming over to the league. And I think Luka Doncic is going to be an excellent ball player. But I think,
so do I.
I think you're getting like the best and worst of both worlds colliding, and that's why the public opinion in Phoenix is so strong and so vitriolic about the guy who could be number two or even further down the list in Luka Doncic. We'll get a lot more into this for the next hour. We've got our Suns countdown to one roundtable. Yes, we're a day away from the Suns being officially on the clock in the 2018 NBA draft. In addition to me and Bickley, John Gambadoro, John Bloom will join us. We'll talk all things Suns draft for the next hour here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.